Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The latter part of chapter 10 in the book of Romans gives us a very essential and vital information about the system of salvation that God has presented whereby he saves man from his sins. Now the chapter began with the expression of Paul's great desire for his Jewish brethren to accept the way of Jesus Christ. They had not done that. At least most of the Jews had rejected the Christ. Of course, some had accepted him. The first church was composed of Jewish people there in Jerusalem. But for the most part, the Jews were rebellious against God and against Christ. But Paul shows how that the way of salvation, the need of salvation, it was for both Jew and Gentile, and that had been God's intention all along. And he cites Old Testament prophets to show that God had intended to save both Jew and Gentile. And he saves them the same way. There's no difference. That same way is by the system of salvation that Paul is defining and describing here in the book of Romans. Now, in verse 11, he had made a very significant statement about the necessity of faith in Christ. You'll notice, and I reread to you verse 11, he said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord or believe on him shall not be ashamed. And then in verse 13, a very similar thought, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, now, he mentions here the necessity of calling upon the name of the Lord. Well, this echoes the statement of Jesus, "It's not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And this calling shows the necessity and of faith, but the necessity of obeying that faith. Now, he says, how can they call except they believe? And how can they believe except they first heard about the Lord? Friend, let's understand, there's no salvation for me, you, or anybody separate and apart from the hearing of the Word of God. The Word of God, the gospel, that's God's power unto salvation. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls, was the writing of the writer James. And indeed, one must call upon the Lord in whom he believes. And he believes because he's heard. You see, the word has provided the necessary information for us, the necessary evidence that we can know that Jesus is the Christ, that he is indeed the Son of God. But now, what does this calling necessitate? There is something for man that he must do. He that doeth the will of the Father. Well, what does it mean for us to do the will of the Father? What is it to call upon the name of the Lord? Well, we read in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh," in other words, baptism is not like just taking a bath, "but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Now this word answer, it's an appeal. When one is baptized, he is making an appeal unto God that he might be saved. He's not trying to earn his salvation. He's not trying to merit his salvation. The next chapter going to show that that's an impossibility anyway. But when one is baptized, he's raising his appeal unto God that he might be saved. You see, when God calls, he expects a response. He expects an answer. Well, baptism is that answer. It's an answer of obedience to the command that the Lord has given. And friend, until one answers the call of God, he is not calling on the name of the Lord. In Acts chapter 22, When Ananias came to what was then Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul, Ananias said, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins." Well, what does that mean? Calling upon the name of the Lord. That's what the verse says. How dare people say the baptism has nothing to do with the washing away of sins when Ananias told Saul to be baptized for that very purpose? Now, the Jews, unfortunately, had not received or accepted that teaching, and they had tried to be justified before God by following their own way, by continuing in the law of Moses. But friend, understand, the law of Moses, though it was a part of God's plan of revealing the way of salvation, it was not the way of salvation. The law of Moses was never for the Gentile. The law of Moses was exclusively for the Jewish people. But now, the necessity of hearing the word must precede salvation. But the Jews were not saved. And Paul raises the question then in verse 18, "But I say, have they not heard? Had not the word been preached to the Jews? Yes, verily, their sound went unto all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you." You see, God used the Gentile people and the offering of salvation to the Gentile people to try to motivate and encourage and provoke the Jewish people to also seek the same salvation that he was offering to the Gentile. Yes, they had heard. It wasn't a matter that they didn't know. They just rejected it. And then Paul cites the prophet Isaiah, and he says, and Isaiah was very bold and saith, "I have found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me." Now that's the Gentile people. The Gentile people didn't seek after God. The Gentile people didn't have the law of Moses like the Jewish people did. But I was found by the Gentile people when the gospel came. And they didn't seek after me, but I sought them through the gospel. But now, as far as the Jewish people were concerned, Isaiah said, "All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Dear friend, God anticipated that through the Gentiles the Jews might be provoked to salvation. But not only do we see how God used the Jews to bring salvation to the entire world, including the Gentiles, God also used the Gentiles to motivate the Jews to be saved. "Now, they sought me not, but they found the Lord through the gospel of Jesus Christ." God stretched forth his hand and extended his invitation to the Jew and also to the Gentile. And those who responded faithfully and called upon the name of the Lord by appealing unto the Lord, being baptized into Jesus Christ, they were the ones that benefited from this marvelous plan that God had designed and delivered for man's salvation. When we go into the 11th chapter, we see some more important information regarding the nature of this salvation and this plan. Paul writes, "I say then, hath God cast away his people?" Now the Jews indeed were unfavorable before God because they rejected Christ, but was it because God had cast them away? Well, that was not it. They had cast away God. They cast away the Son of God. Paul says, "God forbid, may it not be so." And he cites as an example, "For I am also an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Know ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am alone, and they seek my life. What saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so, then at this present time there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Paul is simply saying the very fact that he was a Christian shows that God has not forsaken the Israelite people. Paul was an Israelite. Paul was the seed, fleshly seed of Abraham. And he reminds them of the time when that great prophet Elijah was called upon to bring Israel unto God. Now there was that great contest on Mount Carmel of which we read in the Old Testament. And the people were trying to decide whether to serve Jehovah or whether to serve Baal. Elijah showed them by the things that took place, the fire coming down from God to devour the altar and the sacrifice, that not everybody had indeed turned away from God. Being discouraged as Elijah was, he went away, and his life was sought by Ahab and Jezebel. But Elijah thought that he was the only one that served the Lord. Well, God told Elijah that's not the way it is. There were 7,000 that had not bowed their knee to Baal. Now, Paul uses that, friend, to illustrate, though most of the Jewish people then, and indeed now, refused to accept the Christ, that wasn't true of everybody. There were those of Israel, there was a remnant that was still saved according to the plan that was embraced and delivered by the grace of God. So the plan of salvation is a universal plan. This is one of the things that the book of Romans tries to bring out to us. Everybody needs to be saved. Everybody can be saved. But everybody will be saved the same way, and that same way is this plan through Jesus Christ. And even though the Jewish people for the most part rejected him, it's not because God had turned his back on them. They had turned their back on the ways of God. Now the Bibles too will recall that in Acts chapter 2, when the first gospel sermon was preached by the Apostle Peter, and we affirmed that the Father had made Jesus both Lord and Christ, 3,000 obeyed the gospel that day. There was not a Gentile among them. They were all Jews. That shows that God had not turned his back on his people. He offered them first, because he had used them to bring the plan into reality, he offered unto them first the way of salvation. And there were Jewish people that made up that first church. Later on, as Jesus had told them to go and preach the gospel in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world, it was for everybody. That's one of the things that Paul is emphasizing here in this book. Well, we're going to see in Acts chapter 11 that the way of salvation is not through the merit of man, but it is because of the grace and the mercy of God that man can be saved from his sins. We hope that you'll study with us continually in this book of Romans as we look at chapter 11 in our next broadcast. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.